So let's just take a step back and contemplate the mitzvah of Avelos. What is exactly the Torah-level obligation? This is not an obvious thing at all, and there is actually a very robust debate amongst the Rishonim whether we could talk about Avelos as a mitzvah de Oraisa or not. The Rambam is of the view that Avelos Yom Rishon is de Oraisa, that the first day, in other words, the day of the passing, which also happens to be the day of the burial, very, very rare in the United States of America, if this would ever happen, could be a Torah-level mitzvah, but he cites two different sources for it. Anybody want to guess what the sources would be? Neither of them is obvious at all, that the Avelos could be a Din D'Oraisa. So what would be the two possibilities in the Chumash that there's a Torah-level... Okay, very good. What's your name?
Feder.
Feder, very good. Okay, so the Pasuk says, Vayas la'aviv evel shivas yamim. So that would point in the direction of all 7 days being D'Oraisa. But that was an excellent suggestion, so excellent that the Rambam had to actually address that in the very first halacha in Hilchos Avel, so in Sefer Shoftim of the Mishnah Torah. The Rambam says that you would think, based on that pasuk, exactly what Feder suggested, that Avelos for all 7 days is a din d'oraisa. It comes straight out of the Chumash. It even came before Matan Torah. Like this week we have the mitzvah of Bris Milah, before that we have Puruvu, we have Gita Nash and Parshas Vayishlach. So maybe Avelos is actually one of the first mitzvos in the Torah. So the Rambam says it actually doesn't work that way, because Nisna Torah, Nischad Shahalacha, that really, once the Torah was given, everything was reset, so even if that was practiced before Matan Torah, and it was a takana of Moshe Rabbeinu, get this, it was one of Moshe Rabbeinu's rabbinic enactments. Isaac, not a Torah-level law that he got from God at Sinai, but it was a takana, a rabbinic enactment of Moshe Rabbeinu, that we should mourn for 7 days, in parallel to the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu also established the Shiva Yemei HaMishta, 7 days of celebrating after a wedding. That each of these milestone life events, obviously one, nothing could be happier, and the other one, nothing could be sadder. So that's actually a takkan of Moshe. So Feder, that was a great suggestion. The Rambam felt that he needed to address that, but that's not one of the two sources. Any other takers? What would one of the two sources be that there is a concept of Avelos Min HaTorah? Okay, Feder again. Okay, excellent, very good. So that is the source of the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah. Very good. The Rambam says, "Ve'achalti chatas hayom hayitav b'nei Hashem." So that's a very interesting source for Avelos. That was the day that Aharon lost his two sons, Nadav and Avihu, but he's actually technically not an Avel. What do we call that time period between the passing and the Kavura? That's actually called an Onen. And Onen is referred to again in Parshas Kisavo in the context of Meister Sheni. During the Vidui Meister, the individual says, Lo achalti ve'oni mimenu. And it's interesting because the Rambam is the one who holds, of all the Rishonim, the Rambam was the one who believed that the dinim of Avelos don't apply during Aninos. And that's how he explains when David lost his son tragically in the aftermath of the sin of Bathsheba. So David HaMelech gets up and he says he's going to go wash and he's going to go anoint himself. But if he's a mourner, how could he do that? The Rambam explains he's not really a mourner, he's an Onin. So that's one source. That's what the Rambam says in the Mishnah Torah. Now, interestingly, in the Sefer Mitzvos, the Rambam brings a different source entirely. Anybody want to guess? There are individuals in the room to whom it would apply. So this is in Mitzvah Lamedayin of the Mitzvah Saseh, the 37th and 248 positive commandments. Anybody want to guess? The Pasuk says about the Kohen that when the Kohen loses an immediate relative, even though normally the Kohen has an Isser, there's a Torah-level prohibition of the Kohen becoming Tamei Lames, of coming into contact with a dead body, Al Nefesh Meis Lo Yitama, right? The Pasuk says, Lo Yitama, when it's an immediate relative. So why does he have to become Tamei? So the Rambam explains in the Sefer Mitzvos, because there's an obligation for him to mourn, for him to be involved in the aftermath of the passing of an immediate relative. And if it wasn't a Torah-level concept to mourn, how would that justify overriding the Torah-level prohibition of his violating his kahuna of becoming tamei? So it must be, if there's a pasuk that says, la yitama, that he must. He doesn't have a choice. It's not optional. He must become tamei. The Gemara tells the story of a Kohen. He said, no, I'd rather do the avoda. Let somebody else handle my family member's burial. So it says, Echav HaKohanim, the other Kohanim forced him to become tamei. It's not an option. It's a mitzvah. So again, if Avelos wasn't a din d'oraisa, if it wasn't a Torah-level obligation, so then how could override the iser of a Kohen becoming tamei l'nefesh? So that's an important piece of background. But again, even according to those who understand that there's a din of Avelos Midaraisa, the Rambam, the Rif, and others, that really is only Yom HaMisa of Yom HaKruah. So the mission that Rabbi Yitz was talking about last night Rachatz Balaila Harishon Shemesa Ishtu, now we're only talking about Avelos Dirabanan. And this is only rabbinic from the first night and onwards. It's a takana, as we said, of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the issue there, as Rabbi Yitzchak explained last night, is the question of Istinus. When the Talmidim said to Rabbi Gamliel, he said, look, you know, didn't you teach us that this is one of the 11 prohibitions of an Avel? The Avel is not allowed to study Torah. The Avel is not allowed to do Shela Shalom. The Avel is not allowed to have intimate relations. The Avel is not allowed to engage in normal conversation. The Avel is not allowed to anoint themselves. The Avel is not allowed to wash themselves. So it's one of the 11 restrictions of Avelos. So how exactly are you doing this? And Rav Gamliel's response, we discussed last night, was Istinus Ani, that we are not all created equal. For some of us, washing is a matter of pleasure, and that is meant to be foregone during the Shiva. But for others, it's not a matter of pleasure, but we have sensory sensitivities, as people would say today, and it is literally a source of terrible, terrible distress to go for any amount of time without washing himself off. Now again, in today's day and age, people very often shower on a regular basis. So the Rav, Rabbi Soloveitchik, felt that everybody had a status of istinus today. Again, if somebody's able to be machmer on themselves and to not shower for not only Shiva, but actually it applies during the entire 30-day period, that's the standard tradition amongst the Ashkenazim, is not to shower, not to take a full hot shower for all 30 days. This should certainly be encouraged. But again, there are many leniencies today because people, frankly, are in the habit of washing themselves much more often than used to happen in ancient times. So people have indoor plumbing. Indoor plumbing changed a lot of things. And so a lot of people are very uncomfortable if they're not able to shower for even a limited amount of time. So again, that's the idea of istinus, because when it comes to the isser rechitza, the isser of washing for an avel, it's only what we call rechitza shel tanug. It's only something that you would enjoy. The avel isn't supposed to engage in pleasurable activities. The avel is not allowed to study Torah. One of the reasons is pikudei Hashem yishar misam chelev. Studying Torah is a very pleasurable activity. Just look around the room. People are almost jumping out of their seats. So again, you know, an avel is not supposed to be doing pleasurable activities, but the avel doesn't have to be mitza'er themselves. They literally don't have to cause themselves unnecessary harm and psychological pain. And this is a great example of how halacha looks at different people differently. For me, not showering, I don't want people to get any ideas, but you know what, it's okay, you know, I'll survive, you know. I don't want to say I grew up without indoor plumbing, but you know, it's okay. You know, I went to camp, you know, it wasn't such a big thing. Yeah, we'll serve other people. You talk to them, and it's like, you know, they don't know what to do with themselves. So again, you have to know who you're dealing with. There's not a one-size-fits-all in halacha, so everybody has to be sensitive. So that's a great example. And then again, it's an even better example according to the Rav's approach, because it shows how halacha is responsive to changes in sociology. And if the average person in a Western country, a first world country, is able to shower on a very regular basis, not true everywhere in the world, but they're able to shower even on a daily basis, so that will change the definition of istinus and will expand it much more broadly than just Rabbi Gamliel. And we can continue discussing some of these issues as we move forward, especially into the third parak, which deals with many of the dinim of aninus, misha meso, mutal lefan.